Hello, movie lovers. Welcome to the show. So tonight, of course, is the night when we're talking about our Dexter After Show, and it's episode 8. Episode 8 of Dexter New Blood. Sorry, I forgot the title of the episode. I was so focused in on the story. Unfair Game. So this episode takes place right when the last one left off, and you see Dexter wakes up in the trunk of this guy's car, and he's trying to figure out where he is, and he has this he's having this vision of his son Harrison getting in a fight with a bunch of those jocks, and he's actually releasing his dark passenger. So Dexter wakes up, and then he realizes what's going on because he hears a phone call between the guy driving the car, and he's having a conversation with Kurt, and he says, "Oh yeah, I got the big fish in the trunk right about now." And he goes, "You take care of the son." And as soon as Dexter hears the word "son," he goes into full Dexter mode, and it's pretty much like a cat and mouse kind of game throughout the whole episode for the most part. And then while that's that, Kurt's dealing with Harrison, you know, trying to get Harrison to be like, trying to be a father figure to Harrison, to try to take away Dexter's thunder. And yeah, so I liked it. I mean, I like that we're finally getting some answers with the show.
I'm glad, to be honest with you too. We're actually finally getting some ground with Harrison and Dexter finally, and they're finally wrapping up some stuff that they need to wrap up with.
Yeah.
Something that I really am happy with. But like you mentioned, though, you have Eric who's driving Dexter. He puts him in the trunk, passed out. Dexter dreams about Harrison beating and killing some wrestlers, which is that sequence that you saw in the background on one of the promos. So my thing was this. Whenever I saw that thing, it's about Dexter just having that anxiety of what's going to happen to his son if he's not around. Who's going to help him? Who's going to guide him? And it also goes into the question is, would Kurt be the one to drive him home to where he would actually guide him onto his dark passenger and everything if Dexter's not around? But that also makes him even struggle even more to where he's trying to get out of those straps as well. And of course, you know, when Eric gets on the phone, he's like, "Hey, look, boss, I have the package." And that's, like you said, he goes into full Dexter mode. But what did you think of that scene not actually happening, rather than it's just like a dream sequence, as if to say, this is what's going to happen to me if I'm not around for my son?
I kind of wanted that really to happen. Not the brutality of him killing the guys, but I actually kind of wanted to see the actual fight in the cabin, because the dream sequence didn't look great. I'll just say that it took you out of it a little bit. Because I liked in the promo when they're doing the interview in the cast and like they're having the featurette and thing, the fight looked more realistic and looked more intense. This one, I mean, his vision kind of looked all cartoony in a sense, so it kind of took me out of it. And then when Dexter woke up, that's when the show, like the episode, kicked it into 12th gear.
You see, for me, I felt the opposite, to be honest with you, and I can understand how it could feel cartoony and stuff like that. For me, it drew me in on the consequences of what would happen if Dexter's not around. But also, too, I wish it would actually play out of not being a dream sequence rather than having a cause and effect where, you know, you have cause and effect of the consequences that Harrison's done. And because of those consequences, it's going to cause those jocks to go after him. So that's what I wanted to see more of the jocks showing up and actually beating the crap out of Harrison, or even worse. But I did like the stunts within the dream sequences. I thought that the scene with Harrison was really good. And then, of course, when he gets blood on his face and everything, it's like he just has that ape shit smile on his face, you know, kind of like a Tarantino smirk in a sense. But you know, I thought the same dream sequence worked in certain aspects and stuff like that. But, you know, I can understand how it could pull you out a little bit, though, too.
Yeah. I don't know. It just the way it looked. I mean, it looked better in the promo during the featurette than it actually did now. So, I mean, it's funny. Like, it was only that small portion. It didn't take me out from the rest of the episode, but which I was happy on. But, man, I was like, when Dexter's like, I'm surprised, how did that guy survive? Once Dexter did like pretty much did the thing to his mouth, and he got and he crashed. Dexter's fine. He got flown out the windshield. And I just remind me of the Hitman's Bodyguard. Did you ever hear about seatbelt rule? When Ryan Reynolds gets flown out from the car, and he ends up lands perfectly in Sam Jackson's face, but unlike that one, you actually see the guy's kind of knocked out, but the way Dexter gets out just fine. I guess Dexter never heard of the seatbelt rule.
I actually laughed though. All I could think of whenever he did that to Eric, where he has like the scars on his mouth, is the Joker. Do you want to know how I got these scars? You know, I was really thinking to myself, oh crap, what's gonna happen with Eric and everything? And of course, Eric gets out of the car and he has the rifle in his hand. I'm like, this is not good. You have Dexter's unarmed going up against a hunter who hunts things for probably a living or for sport, and that's definitely not a good idea. And so now he's having to go into the woods. And as he's going into the woods, Eric winds up shooting him in the leg. And this is also causing Dexter to leave a trail of blood. So now he's wondering, how is he going to get out of the situation that he's in as well? And I'm also wondering, I was on the edge of my seat with this thing. Because I thought the stunts in this show, in this episode, was really good and very well laid out.
Mm-hmm.
And also, too, when Eric is chasing after him, Dexter's also hiding behind a tree, and then of course Eric winds up shooting him. Dexter runs again. Then of course we wind up seeing this stream near a creek, and Dexter's thinking the same thing. Oh shit, I need to get out of this whole entire predicament that I'm in. So he makes some tracks, trying to make it look like that he jumped in, he ended up jumping into the thing. And of course Eric, being a hunter, goes, I know this BS. I can do this all day. But what do you think about those scenes?
I mean, I knew Dexter was going to get out of it because he's very resourceful. He knows what he's doing. So you feel that, and you see the random images of Deb. You need to go kill this guy, Kurt. And it's like, wow, Deb was telling him not to kill anybody, yet now Deb wants him to kill somebody. So it's just funny seeing Deb do the huge 180. Which I thought was hysterical. Just her telling, encouraging Dexter, you need to kill this guy. After all season long, she's been telling him, you don't need to kill him. So I thought that was kind of funny. But yeah, I mean, it was intense, but you just kind of had a feeling Dexter was going to survive. And then when he finds out about the cabin, you have all day, but the night is mine. I love that line. Yeah, that was great. And he picks up the knife and... But that sequence, what he did with the mirror, oh man, that was awesome. Him jumping right out of the mirror like a bat out of hell. That was awesome, Dexter, right there.
To be honest with you, I wasn't even expecting him to jump out of the mirror like that. To be honest with you, I was expecting him maybe to sneak up behind him, but just to jump out in front of him like that in the mirror. That was ballsy. That was actually a pretty cool stunt coordinated by them, to be honest with you.
Of course he's going to jump out of the mirror. I think he was pissed because his son's involved.
And also, too, the cabin part was awesome. I love that. It had that horror slasher kind of feel to it. In the summer camp, made in the wintertime kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
I liked it. It had like that ski loft kind of feel. And then, of course, you know, you have that being played out, and then you have Eric following the blood trail all the way to the cabin. And I liked, to be honest with you, I love that quote that Dexter says, you may have all day, but I have all night. That was actually a clever line.
I love the line you wrote on the mirror, you look beautiful. And then he made it, like, it's like the way he kind of spelled beautiful kind of made it spell like kind of like spelled it wrong. So the guy was staring, you see him staring at the mirror for a while, looking at his face, and you got like, just the bloody, like you said, look, Joker vibes. And then he's staring. It's one of those jokes. Never stare too close into something, especially around Halloween, because you knew somebody's going to jump right out. And that's exactly what Dexter did. The guy thought he was bright. No, you fell for the oldest trick in the book, staring really close into something. And then, boom, he pops right out asking, where's my son? And he goes, I don't know. And I think he punches him or stabs him. And he goes, all right, I'll tell you. And it's at Kurt's other cabin.
Right. And another thing I want to mention is this, though, too. We also have another scene before this, though, too, where we have, remember, Harrison's looking at Angela's daughter with, you know, with Zach, who's getting a Christmas tree, and he's kind of pissed off, but then he starts walking away. Then that's when Kurt winds up calling him.
Yeah.
And when he gets the call from Kurt, he goes, he sounds kind of surprised because Kurt got out of jail. He goes, I thought you were in jail. Oh, you know, it's just a long story. It's okay. I thought you'd be working over at the truck stop. He goes, no, I took the day off because you got arrested and everything. And I didn't know what the outcome was going to be. Well, where are you at? And you can tell Kurt is pissed off because he's not at the location where he could be, where, you know, basically Kurt feels safe at.
Yeah.
Because that's basically his safe haven, his covenant. If you think about it. So now he has to pick him up in public. So what does he do? He winds up picking up Harrison. And they wind up breaking into the high school, technically, because Kurt still has the keys back whenever he was actually part of the sports.
Wrestling team, yeah.
Wrestling team. And then, of course, you wind up seeing the softball, the baseball.
Yeah.
The baseball scene and everything.
Pitching machine.
Yeah, the pitching machine. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, is he going to kill him with the baseball?
Mm-hmm.
Hit him in the head and do it that way? But I'm like, no, that's not Kurt's M.O., but it also makes me kind of frightful for Harrison with that scene.
Yeah.
As well, because you don't know what to expect from Kurt. Kurt is a loose cannon when things don't go his way.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, you kind of knew, I don't think he was going to kill him there. Because obviously whatever he did to Harrison, he kind of wanted Dexter to be there. So I kind of had a feeling he was safe there. Because there's a reason, like, why did you capture Dexter while he takes care of the son? Like, I'm pretty sure he kind of wanted to see it. Because he wanted, like, because how his son, like, so sins of the father, like, he kind of wanted, like, to, like, make Dexter watch. So but that was hard, especially when Harrison, like, because you could see that anger streak. Like, him getting hit repeatedly, him going, like, remembering everything. Like, he was pissed. Like I'm surprised he didn't throw down right there and beat up Kurt. But, I mean, he took some welts by there.
He did. But also, too, that was his way of dealing with pain more than anything. That was actually about him dealing with pain versus being pissed off.
Yeah.
And that was his way of coping, is doing self-harm to your body when you're dealing with pain. But then after Kurt saw the damage and everything that was going on to his body, he's like, no, we're just going to cut this off. But he kind of gives him a pat on the back, goes, man, you're a tough kid. And then he goes back over to the, then I don't get this scene where basically you have Harrison looking into the mirror.
Mm-hmm. I think he's looking at his injuries to see, he wanted to see how bad it was, I guess.
Right. But also too, it's also a self-reflecting onto Kurt's son though, too, Matt, because of the fact that he basically, it seemed like that Kurt wanted to take him as an adoption type of deal.
Yeah.
Maybe kill Dexter and then, of course, take Harrison in as his own. But then, I don't know.
Then we find out what really was going on. But then we got the side story of Angela looking into it. I didn't care for this portion at all. I'm sorry. Angela's getting kind of annoying now. Like, she's right out there with Kurt. You're trying to find out, like, these cold cases about, oh, I gotta look at the needles. Like what? I'm like, can you just leave him alone? Seriously? Just leave Dexter alone. You should be thankful for what he's done. He's kept you safe, and nobody will bother him. Like, and whatever he does, like, you're asking questions. Your body's cashing checks. Like, your body's creating checks that your body can't cash. Literally, do not go barking up this tree. You're not going to like what you're going to find. And I don't know why she's focusing on that time to look into this.
Well, we can always thank the podcast girl, though, too.
Yeah, it's her fault. I mean, Dexter just threw you a bone and saved your life. And this is how you repay him? By throwing him under the bus to make your friend go look into this? Really? Is this how you repay your friends?
Molly, I like Molly as a podcaster. I thought she's really smart. She's quirky. I like her.
Yeah, I like Molly too. I just don't like how she repaid Dexter by throwing him under the bus.
Right, because he did her a solid. She would have been 6 feet under if it wasn't for him, to be honest.
Yeah.
And to do it in that way, is that pisses me off, though. But then I had a feeling, remember whenever I went back to the whole entire deal where Dexter was getting the needle and stuff like that? And remember when I said there has to be, this has to wind up coming back later on him in some way.
Yeah.
And but so I was this is how it's coming back.
It's coming back, but it's kind of annoying how it's coming back on him, but we don't really know yet. But if he took out, like, he beat the crap out of a drug dealer who Angela literally saw dealing drugs in the restaurant. Why didn't you arrest him? Hello? By doing him a solid? This is not quid pro quo. This person dealt drugs in your town. And you're going to let him go? Seriously?
Like, right. Why does he get immunity over that fact whenever he's already making people OD off of those things that he's selling? Even though the person that's making the fake counterfeit is dead, he's still making some kind of product on his own now without him.
Yeah.
That's one thing I don't get.
Like,
why does he get in full immunity because of the fact Dexter stuck him with the needle?
Yeah.
And the way I see it is this: what makes them think that just because the kid said it, he could have actually self-inflicted on it himself. He could have winded up sticking his own self with a needle. But it's just coincidental, though, that two people with those same marks, though.
And yet, Angela's going on that straw. I'm like, come on. You should be thanking him. Don't go be asking questions that you don't want to find out the answers for. I don't think you're ready for this. And I think this is going to bite her in the end. And it should. And then that's part of this. That was the point of the story. This episode, I didn't really care for. I didn't really care about that.
No.
I cared more about what's going on with Dexter and Harrison, to be honest, because those are the more two important parts of this episode.
Right. But my question is this. Do you think she'll be kicked off the force for investigating something that isn't even that much of an importance whenever it's a shut case?
I don't know. I really don't know. Like, we got two episodes left. They got to figure that out. I don't know what they're going to do. Like, just don't have her be the one that kills Dexter. That'd be the stupidest thing ever. Like, just to have her, just because he put a needle in two guys, and then he kind of, like, protected your city. He's like a vigilante in a sense. He's a serial killer, but he's kind of like a vigilante. He's like one of those nice ones. Like, just don't piss him off and don't hurt him or anybody he knows. You're okay. Like, just, you can be friends with him. Just don't piss him off and don't do something stupid. Again, we'll see where this goes. Again, I don't know. I don't really care. I was watching her go for him. Like, oh my God, really? Just enough. You're turning into Kurt right now. Obsessed.
Okay. So another thing though, too, is Logan's brought up the stuff with Angela though too. Mm-hmm. Then we also have Angela questioning him, because now it makes it look like that Logan's incompetent of things, even though she's not really telling him why she's asking all these questions.
She shouldn't have been in New York. It's simple. Right. It's simple.
But another thing I want to bring up too, remember, this goes back to the scene that we were talking about where basically Eric and Dexter, where Eric says it's not personal or anything. Yeah. And I like the thing that Dexter says, it's just my son. That's all. And then he just winds up stabbing him.
Well, he stabs him like, it's my son. It's personal. Like, right. Yeah, I mean, he didn't do the conventional way. He doesn't have time. He just stabbed him and covered him up. Like, nobody's going to find this cabin.
You know what I thought he was going to do, and I thought it would actually play out pretty good, is if he went on ahead. Yeah, he dressed up like Eric, but what I would have wanted was he pulls up to his house, even though there was not much time, but I believe his game plan was dress up like Eric. Then as he's looking at the body, he realizes that it's Eric, and then that's when we have Dexter that winds up killing Kurt.
Yeah.
But because Right.
Then the show would have been over, and then there wouldn't be no point for two more episodes.
No, there isn't. But then, you know, as this is going on, as Dexter's driving, texting Harrison from another phone, and I like the expression on Harrison's face. He's like, okay, something major is going on now if my dad's texting me from another phone. He's not texting me.
He was, and then he was kind of like ignoring him, like, why are you bothering me? Why are you, he's about to say, why, what the heck are you doing? Like, he's about to text that to him, and then he just turned off the Wi-Fi. It was like Harrison was kind of like, he was kind of like already going toward, leaning towards Team Kurt over Team Dexter. And I think at that point he didn't care. So, and then he was like trying to enjoy himself. It wasn't until his life was in danger, however.
That's when he wanted Dexter. But
that's when he wanted that. And that one was like, that was the scene I was talking about the whole time, how I thought Kurt was about to pull the trigger, and I thought it was going to be Audrey, the daughter. And then I see the car come up and he runs out of the way. That's that scene. And it was Harrison was the one that was about to get shot, and Dexter is the one that saves him, which I thought was awesome. Like you just knew he was going to show up in the nick of time to save his son, and Kurt running off like a little bitch that he is.
Well, okay. So let me just do a few other things before we get into that part though, too,
because that's fine.
A lot of dialogue. Okay, so we wind up seeing Kurt inside the thing. He's cooking dinner for Harrison. And I'm thinking to myself, is he going to poison him at this point? And also, too, and Harrison's also catching on to Kurt just a little bit. But at the same time, it's playing with his emotions a little bit, though, too. Mm-hmm. Especially with him having the text from Dexter, too. So he goes around the cabin, and he was about to text him. And then he decided not to after Kurt winds up asking him if everything's okay. And then that's when, like you said, that's when he goes, why the hell are you texting me? But then he turns it into airport mode. I wonder if that's a survival tactic, so that way his phone wouldn't go off when he was with Kurt, whenever he was starting to notice certain things.
Yeah, I mean, that could be it. I mean, it might be survival mode, because airplane mode, you can't, like, you don't get notifications, and you can't text or anything, because he was about to hit send, what the hell are you doing? And then he decided not to. And then he's just sitting there just drinking that, eating venison and all that stuff.
Yeah, the whiskey.
And then this, the two of them talking, and it sounded like Kurt really was like being a father figure to Harrison. And he goes, oh shit, I got to do something. I'll be right back. Which you kind of mean like, okay, what's going on here? Like, we're like, what's going on here? And then you see him come back in the ski mask. I'm like, oh shit, here we go.
Like he's going in like on a James Bond mission or something, going after James Bond in a ski mask. And Harrison at first is thinking that he's just laughing his ass off. He's like, what, like, the hell are you doing?
And is this then a joke?
Yeah. And then his face is just blank.
And then he goes, the sins of the father. So pretty much essentially the sins of the father. So pretty much she was about to kill Harrison, because it's not your fault, kid. I really like you. You're a great kid. You just got to pay for what your father did. And Harrison's like, wait, what? He's like, get up, get outside. And it was all getting like very serious, very quickly. And then as soon as the car shows up, and this how idiot Kurt is, all right, get over here. Bring the dad out. I want him to see this. And that's when he realizes, like, oh shit, it's not him, it's Dexter.
Right. And here's another thing, too. I was wondering how he would know that was Dexter driving, unless, of course, of how fast he was driving, because it's at nighttime. So I'm thinking to myself, how would he know that? But
he's probably wearing that. He was wearing the hat, the same hat as Eric.
Right. But also, too, I don't think that. Then after he realizes it's not him, he's, you know, he winds up taking the shot. That's something I was wondering about, how he knew.
I think it was because how fast the car is moving.
True. Honestly,
I think it was that.
But let's also talk about this other thing real quick, too, with this dinner scene.
Yeah.
He winds up telling Harrison, he goes, I promise that I would never leave you or abandon you. I'm like, this reminds me of straight up from the movie Hook.
Mm-hmm.
Where Captain Hook is trying to take Robin Williams' kids, and goes, I promise you that I'll take care of you and I'll do anything that you want, anything. And I won't ever miss any of your baseball games. And that's exactly what it feels like with this. It's like, I promise you, I won't abandon you or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be here for you. And Harrison has like a little bit of a tear because that's what he wants to hear, but it wishes that it was comes from Dexter instead of him.
Yeah. But when Dexter showed up, making time, and he didn't get to lay the punch on Kurt, just Kurt ran off. I was like, oh, this is the second time he almost was able to land a punch on him. Which means I think by episode 10, he'll lay a punch on him.
I think he'll do more than lay a punch on him since he got kidnapped and was also trying to brainwash his kid. It's on. It's like, full dad mode now.
Yeah.
And then
Harrison running over to Dexter and hugging him. I thought that was great. And like, we're finally getting to that point now. Like, and in the car ride home at the end of the episode, that was like the best part of the episode.
Dude, that hit me in the feels. I'm not going to lie. That was a good father and son moment.
He was revealing, he's like, your dark passenger, like I was born in blood just like you. And he's pretty much, I'm going to tell you everything. And that's what the next episode is. He's going to tell him everything about the passenger, the code. And then you see Harrison just hug him. That we're finally getting somewhere. And Harrison actually likes his dad now, which is okay. Which I was really wanted to see from the long, like, just like, it was a sigh of relief from both him and Dexter because he could finally tell his son what's really going on. We'll see where we go for this, to see how this is going to progress. But I think Harrison's going to be okay with Dexter being him, honestly.
I think so, too. I like that scene so much. He's like, look, I was born in blood just like you are. He goes, I had someone that showed me everything, and I want to help you just like he helped me.
Yeah.
Like my adopted father helped me. Now I want to help you the way he helped me. There's a way to deal with it. And Harrison knows that what he's dealing with is something more.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to cope with it. He's being misunderstood by his own thoughts, his own actions. He doesn't know what to do. And now he's embracing Dexter. And I love it. I love this scene so much.
Yeah.
And then you have Angela going on ahead investigating.
On Christmas Eve. Not very festive. You're focusing on Dexter for stuff that he did in Miami that has nothing to do with what's going on here. Like, come on now. Like, really? You really want to bark up this tree again? You're asking too many questions. You don't even want to know the answers for. I would just, let it go.
And everything that she, first she keys in Dexter's name, and then she goes in and decides to put in the drug that's being used. And I have a question. I mean, I know we did the review for season 2 when we wind up having the whole entire investigation of the Bay Harbor Butcher, but did they even confirm that that's the drug that was used?
I don't think so. I don't remember. Again, season 2 is like the season I want to forget because of Lila. Oh my God. Like, no, I'm not even going up there, but I just find it funny. Because the ketamine that was used, it was the name of the song that Michael C. Hall's band played. I think Princess Goes to the Museum. I think it's like Princess Goes to the Museum or something, with Butterfly or whatever. It was at the end of one of the episodes. That song was played at the end of one of the episodes. And the title of the song was called Ketamine, which I think this is hilarious. Which I think is just a huge one, full circle we go on right here.
Definitely. It's like a little bit of a foreshadowing into this episode.
Yeah.
With that song. I mean,
it was not this episode. It was like a couple episodes ago.
Well, I'm saying foreshadowing into this episode is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah. Or the whole show.
But as Princesses Goes to the Butterfly Museum. There I actually downloaded their EP.
Yeah.
But because during the interview, Michael C. Hall said that he had huge Dexter vibes while writing the music.
Mm.
So he said this is basically the soundtrack for Dexter.
I mean, the music video is Dexter-ish too.
Yes, definitely. But okay, so we talked about the episode. Now, what about this new promo for episode 9?
I mean, it's mainly like a lot of it's Dexter telling Harrison what's really what goes on, and you think he's, and I think you see some flashbacks of him finally wearing that Miami shirt. I think Harrison was a kid and a clown or whatever did something to him, and I think Dexter killed him, killed a clown. I think so. That's what it looks like.
Right. Because I was going to tell you, I said, if you look at the hair and the hairstyle, that's Miami Dexter. This is not small town Jim Lindsay Dexter. This is this is actually Miami Metro Dexter.
Yeah. And then you see Kurt show up. I think it was like a Christmas party. It was you see Harrison at the house with Dexter at Audrey and Angela's house. And you see Kurt show up with like him do the see you later trigger. Yeah. Or something like that. Him like this. Him like that. I'm like, dude, you're really asking for it. You really think you're. And then, by the way, when he told Harrison the story about his dad being the one that really killed these girls, I was like,
and mix really? Up of the DNA though too.
It was his DNA. And like, no, that's complete BS. Like once you see the real story, it's complete BS. He's telling Harrison lies. Luckily, Harrison didn't buy that, but...
Right. Now, that was another thing I was going to ask you whenever he said... Did you see a change in Harrison whenever he winded up making that BS story?
I'm not sure. I think Harrison just didn't know what to think, to be honest.
Part of me thinks that's what made him a little bit more hesitant. It's like, wait a second, your DNA matched up with somebody else's DNA and you're blaming your father? That, to me, I think that raised his ears up a little bit more, to be honest. That's just me looking at it. But going off of what you said about Dexter might be killing a clown, that could be a little bit of a callback to, not a callback to Dexter or anything, but John Wayne Gacy with being a serial killer and then doing it in that kind of scenario. If that's what Dexter did was investigate this clown that it happens to be a serial killer killing other kids.
I think he just killed the clown because he's trying to protect his son.
So you think that this is actually a flashback with Harrison,
flashback. It's flashback to Harrison.
Okay, because I was thinking the other way around with him working for Miami Metro and tracking down this clown who happens to be a predator. But
too. I mean, again, I think we're right on with Miami Metro because that's Miami Metro. Dexter is what the outfit he was wearing. Yeah, I think it could be both. I think the clown he's looking at has been attracted to kids, and I think he was like Dexter and Harrison were at the fair one day, and I think he found this clown, and I think it has something. I'm pretty sure Dexter killed a clown that was trying to attack his son.
It makes honestly. Sense. To be honest with you, that gives you more motivation to go after someone like that than just having this clown that happens to be at the police station that. As a convicted killer, so that would make more sense. Yeah.
I mean, it was a really fast promo, so and then again, we're only two episodes still away from finishing show that. Done. So,
but yep, that's pretty much everything that I wanted to cover as far as this episode goes. I know that this is a little bit shorter, but that's pretty much the meat of the whole entire deal here with episode 8.
Pretty much,
actually like this episode, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it too. Like, I mean, I we're finally getting somewhere and we're getting some answers and Dexter's actually, finally doing what he was supposed to do earlier on the season, telling Harrison the truth. And we're finally, it took his son being in danger and him saving him to do it, but it's getting done.
Right. Like I said, Dexter embracing Harrison, and then Harrison now able to talk to Dexter now. I don't think they're going to need therapy anymore. I think it's going to be fine.
I mean, this is shorter than the actual episode itself, but then again, I didn't really care for the other small portion of it. Like I just cared about Harrison and Dexter. Honestly, right. I didn't really care about the other aspect to the story because if there's no story, it's pointless.
Same. So that's going to be it for our Dexter after show for episode 8. I do appreciate everyone that is able to tune in for tonight's episode and stuff like that. I know this is a little bit short. I know people are starting to come in a little bit, but we're actually done a little bit earlier than what we expected. But Tomorrow night, I'm actually going to be on Vernon Kelly's show doing the Matrix review over there.
Oh, the new one? Okay.
Yeah. Him and I are probably going to be, I'm going to be ranting. He's going to be talking a little bit, or maybe it might be both because him and I
think it's going to be, it seems like it's going to be both ranting, to be honest. I think because that's what it seemed like you two are like on the same page. So that's going to be your version of Space Jam 2. I will say I saw the movie. Space Jam 2 is in a whole another level of baditude. This movie is not as bad as Space Jam 2. Space Jam 2 is tied. I have a first ever tie in my worst movies of the year list. Tom and Jerry and Space Jam 2 are tied for worst movies of the year for me. Matrix is not even on that level. Not even close. It's going to be in my top 10 of the year so far.
I gotcha. But I do have a little bit of an announcement to make. Sunday at 1 o'clock p.m. Central Time, 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, we are going to be doing an indie podcast episode. Basically, it's called Indie Podcast Unite, and it's going to be a live event at 1 o'clock p.m. Central Time, 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, 7 o'clock p.m. General Mountain Time. And basically, this is just me trying to get other podcasters together, other indie podcasts, and just trying to get them noticed a little bit more and also to get myself out there as well and just have a fun conversation with everybody. We're going to have Western Reviews, if you don't know who he is. He was actually on my show doing the Halloween review. And then, of course, he was also on the trivia show that we did. And we also have the Listen, Listen, Listen podcast with Curtis, and he's been on my show a couple of times. We did a couple of movie reviews over there. Then we have the Kato Classic FPL podcast that we did, but then I didn't. Here's the thing: I never got a chance to listen to his podcast yet, but I will. Then I have Happy Hour with the Hamilton Brothers on the show as well. And I'm just going to tell you this. If you're into fun conversation with the Hamilton Brothers, because I listen to their podcast, think of it as going into the bar. And you're listening to two guys conversate over different topics, and they're just running off of different topics. Like, they'll do, like, UFO sightings. They'll do movie stuff. They'll talk about different things in general. And just think of it pulling up a stool at the bar and talking to the Hamilton brothers. That's the way I look at it. And then Scene Invaders is also another movie review podcast that I listen to from time to time. And, of course, the Braves Dugout podcast will be on here as well. The Braves Dugout podcast is actually a podcast dedicated towards the Atlanta Braves. So if you're a Braves fan, check that out. Also, too, I'm a Boston Red Sox fan, so I might actually do a little bit of a Red Sox talk with him back and forth a little bit on that. But still, it's going to be a fun podcast. And, of course, I have a little bit of a special guest, surprise guest coming on, though, too, for the podcast as well. So that's going to be at 2 o'clock p.m. Central Time.
No, I think 1 p.m. Central at 2 p.m.
Yep,
Eastern.
Yep, 7 o'clock p.m. General Mountain Time. Thank you, Charlie. And then, of course, you know, Wednesday night, we're going to maybe do our Matrix review on here for the new Matrix film, because we did all the Matrix rewatches and stuff like that. So, of course, we're going to do that probably at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific Time. But make sure that you guys stay tuned for more details later on if things wind up changing. Tomorrow night, I'm just going to be on Vernon Kelly's show, It Is What It Is podcast. And then Thursday night, Rossi McCree might be with me again. We'll do our Sweet Tooth review. And that's, of course, at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific Time. And there's not going to be any podcast episodes on Friday and Saturday because I want to spend New Year's Eve with my fiance and everything. So I'm going to be spending time over there. So with that being said, guys, I do appreciate everyone tuning in. Thank you again. Thank you, Charlie, as always, for being on the show. Like I said, Monday nights is always my favorite night to talk about Dexter. It just sucks that we have two more episodes and it's coming to a close.
We'll figure out something else to do. It's pretty easy to figure out something.
Yep. And always until next time, guys, it's been real. It's been fun. Can't wait to do this again. And bye-bye. Thank you.